Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This guy is a bulldozer with a wrecking ball attached. He'll leave a ring around your eye and tread marks on your back. He's an animal. He's hungry. You ain't been hungry since Supreme Clientele. Remember what you first told me when I took you in. You wanted to be a fighter. You wanted to be a killer.
New York,
you wanted
stand
to
up.
Be the champ.
Scott, you your boy in the booth, nigga.
Matter of fact, I don't want you in my
chair. About to take you off against me.
Godzilla bankroll, stones from Sierra Leone. Yo, I ain't got it all. That means I'm barely home. Trailblazer, stay ballin' with vengeance. My arts is crafty darts. Why y'all stuck on Laffy Taffy wondering? Yeah. How did y'all niggas get past me? I've been doing this before Nas dropped it nasty. My waddles, I did them up. Them bricks, I sent them up. My raps, I bit them up. For that, now stick them up. 10-4, good buddy Tone got his money up. Worth million, still back your bitch looking for me. What? Y'all staring at the angel with death. Lying, lying, pants on fire, you burning up like David Koresh. This is architect music, verbal street opera, pop a tech man. Flowing got the projects, booming indeed. I ran through the tunnel, terrorized speed. That's when I was still in the jungle, slinging that D.
Get out my face, don't you got no more.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Three Man Weave. Three Man Weave is brought to you by the good folks at Chairshot Radio Network in conjunction with
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And use your heads. It's the holiday season. You got to buy gifts for people. What's a better gift than going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and pick up an official ChairShot t-shirt. We have something for everybody. Literally everybody. We've got hashtag journalism. If you're sick of all the hashtag fake news, boom, that's covered. We got G's Did the Job, the reason for the season. We got that covered. We've got Save Tag Team Wrestling if you're a tag team. But we've got something for everybody. That's the bottom line. And if you enjoy your favorite website for news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude, bitch, what better way to show us some love and make sure we can keep providing that content by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and picking up an official, like a referee's whistle. I can't believe I actually said it because I always mess that up. I always flub it, so I got it right. But go there, ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Please and thank you, thank you. And please remember, TheChairShot.com, we're not just a website, folks. We are a movement. And we have got, we're back. We're right back like we left something. I mean, how long has it been since the three of us actually did a pod, did this specific pod together? I'm
we're
excited.
We're a three-man band.
Yeah, so I guess if we're going picnic, if we're going pigment, I'm Mr. Velvet Pipes, Christopher Platt. I would be playing the role of Drew McIntyre. We have the Commissioner PC Tunney, who would be playing the role of Heath Slater.
I don't have any
and we have the one, the only, Mr. Jinder Mahal himself, Ray Cash.
The modern day Maharaja. for the record, first and foremost, it's good to have the family back, number one. Number two, you got me hyped because you played the song that all the old heads stepped to on Stomp the Yard. So I'm hyped now. I wanted to get out and hit, you know, hit my party hop real fast. So, you know, I'm an old head that used to do that fraternity stuff when I was younger. So, yes. The second you asked what song and he said Ghostface, I knew what type of show this was going to be. It's good to have y'all back.
It's good to be back, man. Are you a fraternity guy?
I did high school. I did do college because I got my ass beat and for no reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'm sorry. For those of you listening, I didn't get my ass beat because the feds listening. I had a wonderful intake process.
DP's listening?
DP and Attitude of Aggression Dave.
Oh, no. Dave's going to get me off. He's my lawyer now, so...
Dave's gonna get you off.
I'm glad you added he's your lawyer.
See, I had context. I'm like, I mean, not that there's anything on this podcast.
Like in the words of Jerry Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong at all.
That's a great lawyer, man. Not only are you not gonna go to jail, he's gonna get you off. I mean, that sounds like a party in my book.
Well, look, I am the client. I am paying the fees.
Full service.
I'm supposed to be serviced.
Okay, so that means Dave's gonna walk all over you with high heels and call you a bitch the whole time as he's dropping candle wax on you, right?
If it's a good night, why not?
Hey,
turn up. What's up? 2020. What else we gonna do?
Well, here we go. No.
That's the Kelly Bundy drop.
No. A thousand times. No!
That thing's back. I came prepared.
It's not going anywhere, man.
You're outmatched. You're outmatched here. This is like the Gulf War. I mean, you're Iraq. I'm the United States. It had nothing to do with policy or anything else. It's just the magnitude of your army and the magnitude of my army, soundbite-wise. So, you know.
Well, I'm still going to be dropping these scuds, goddammit. We going to ride it.
Chair Shot. Network.
We can have that kind of show.
No.
Man, it's going to be an hour and a half into the damn show before we speak some sports. We having the drop wars.
All right, so real quick, man, before we get to sports, man, as you all know, we here in the Platt household, we did suffer through a bout of COVID. We're doing great. Everybody's good. Everything's all good. And our quarantine actually ended yesterday, and I celebrated breaking my quarantine by going to the grocery store and picking up a $10 turkey, and I feel really good about that. I got a turkey for $10.
How many pounds?
I wouldn't feel good about that. That's $10 turkey.
How many pounds?
You get what you pay for, sir.
How many pounds of turkey is that?
I mean, it's not like the ultra butter ball with that has to feed the whole family because it's just Amber and I.
You don't know how heavy it was. You don't know how many pounds it was.
I'd have to go pick it up and find out.
Why don't you go check?
So you,
go ahead.
You got the step cousin.
Yeah, all right, fine. I'll go check. Fine.
Yeah, go ahead. We'll play a commercial. We'll be right back. Hurry up.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome to Three Man Weave Cooking Edition as we head into Thanksgiving. My name is Chef PC Tony, and I am joined by Mr. Raymond Cash. What?
It's a 10 to 12 pounder.
It's a 10 to 12 pounder. So you bought a turkey and it says 10 to 12 pounds. They just went by increments of two. So whatever the line comes down, it's like, all right, this one's 6 to 8. This one's 8 to 12. 8 to 10? Are we sure? Is it not a 6 to 8?
I still got a 10-pound turkey for 10 bucks. I still got a 12-pound turkey for 10 bucks.
Ray, I think you're muted. There you go.
I am. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. Did you go to Publix?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which PC doesn't know about that Publix life because he's up north, so they don't have Publix up north.
It's like Aldi. No, but Atlanta, like Aldi.
Maybe Atlanta Publixes are like, but Atlanta's Publixes are different than any other cities because Atlanta Publixes are like clubs, depending on the one you go to.
Like the Publix we're in, because we're in a ritzy area, like they will volunteer to, well, pre-COVID, they would volunteer to take your groceries to the car and load up in the car for you. So yeah. Not necessarily Aldi's, which ain't no shame to Aldi's. I go to Aldi's all the time, especially out here in Atlanta, man. When I do my gumbo or anything I'm doing with shrimp, Aldi's is the only place that I could go and buy shrimp and I don't have to pay $20 for a bag of shrimp. So yeah, I had no shade to Aldi's whatsoever.
We got Pick and Save up here. It's Roundy's.
Pick and Save.
Or Kroger.
We got Kroger down here, too.
Yeah, everybody got Kroger. Kroger took over Roundy's, but Roundy's, they're still using their facilities up here. So, I don't know. It's across the street from my house. It's where I'm going.
Bottom line is, I got an 11-pound turkey for $10, and I feel good about it. Period.
You know where I always get my
turkey? Wait till you cook that hoe.
How about this transition? For those of you who didn't think I could make this transition, you want to know where I get my turkey every year?
The Home of the Show?
No, Tony, where? The Home of the Show, oh my God.
I play in a turkey... Shut up, Platt. This is why you're not president. Yeah, let that soak in a little bit.
Yeah, because I'm much worse, the shit that I say, than the current president.
I just said that's why you're not president, okay? I didn't say what you just said. I'm talking about me and turkeys. We're trying to transition into sports. Every year I play in a turkey outing where you can drive your car on the course as a golf cart. So you don't have to freeze. You just jump back in the car because you're driving along the path on the golf course. And at the end of it, you get a turkey.
Cool.
But
I appreciate your
That's fine.
Hashtag
he's gonna look,
journalism.
He's gonna look even worse now, because speaking of golf in November, let's talk about the Masters.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, thanks for the golf clap, Ray. I appreciate that.
I got you.
But by the way, if we actually manage to do this show next week again, I will teach everybody that's listening under the sound of my voice how to cook a good turkey and make sure it's fulfilling for everybody.
Oh, man.
I got it down to a science. But go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
All right. Well, the Masters happened. Did either of you catch any of the coverage Sunday?
Shut up. Dustin Johnson, man, this Mellon Farmer, he literally ran away with the Mellon Farmer, man. He finished with, what, 20 under?
20 under. First time ever in history someone went 20 under at the Masters. That's crazy.
So he only had 4 bogeys the entire tournament, which is the best ever. 2 shots better, 20 under. 2 shots better than Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods in their best victories. But Cameron Smith, he had it to one shot there early on, but then Dustin would come back and birdie, then eagle, and just put the distance between them. There was not much debate going down the home stretch in the back nine. Let's talk about Tiger Woods here real quick before we get into more Dustin Johnson and the top of the leaderboard.
How about he shit the bed the last round.
Tiger Woods makes a 10 on the par 3 on the back, but then he goes out and birdies 5 of the last 6 holes.
So literally, my homeboy texts me and says Tiger just shot a 10 on a par 3, and I asked him, "You sure that's not like you? That's a so like that's you, that has to be."
Let me describe.
There's no pathway that's real.
Let me describe the hole to you. I think it was about a buck 80, 180 yards coming in. It could have been a little closer. I'm not sure, but in front of the green is a very well mown slope that leads right down into a creek. So basically, if you landed on the front edge of the green with any spin, it's basically going to roll all the way back down that into the water. if you go past the green, there's a bunker. And if you're in that bunker, it's really hard to get out of that bunker and stop it from not going back down into the water where we're talking about. So Tiger,
it's just a hellish par three.
So here's the 10. Here's the 10 shots. Are you ready? One, tee shot, hits the green. Probably about 5 yards, about 15 feet onto the green. Too much spin, rolls back down into the water. Pull that ball out of the water. He's going to take a drop probably about 50, 60 yards from the green on the other side of the water because you have to bring it backwards. That's two. Hits that next shot, short, back into the water. That's three. Bring it out. That's four. Into the sand behind the green. That's five. Out of there, six into the water. Seven, back up on to that side because you hit the green on that side. Eight on, nine near the hole, and taps in for a 10. That's Tiger Woods, but that's the Masters. He's not the only he's not the only defending champ to make a 10 on the course.
Bubba Watson, we also have to bring up that they literally started tiger-proofing the courses. Like, that's a literal golf term at this point in time, tiger-proofing the courses. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but that's not even the case anymore because Tiger Woods has already created an era of golfers that hit the ball farther than he does. Look at Bryson DeChambeau and what he does. Bryson DeChambeau hits the ball 335, 40 yards on a fly. But Bryson DeChambeau shot one under for the tournament. Bernard Langer, who's in his 60s and averaged 250 yards off the tee, shot two under for the tournament and beat Bryson DeChambeau at the Masters. So the Masters is not tiger-proofing. They're trying to make it equal for everybody. It's about ball striking. It's about putting it in play, setting yourself up in position, knowing what part of the green to be on. Because you could even see Phil. Phil had like a 7 or an 8 because he had a 7-foot birdie putt and missed it by inches, and it rolled all the way back down the other side of the hill, and he had a 40-yard chip shot.
So DeChambeau, that's the guy everybody in the golf space is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs over this guy. They want him to be the next guy, and it was just interesting that he completely shit the bed at this particular tournament.
But he came back though. He tried his best to work back from it. It's just it was too far. Things have moved too far ahead of it. Like, so for him to tank as bad as he did, he finished at what, like 9 under?
No, he didn't. I just said he lost to Bernard Langer, the guy who's 60 some years old. DeChambeau finished at minus one.
I don't think he made the cut. Did he? Did he make the cut? Going into the weekend rounds, I don't think he made the cut. Did he make the cut? Did he make the cut?
Why are you guys arguing with me?
Nobody's arguing with you. We're just having conversation.
I just told you all of this, though.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, we just don't listen to you. That's different.
Clearly, I said Bryson DeChambeau got beaten by Bernard Langer on the whole entire tournament. Langer shot 3 under. DeChambeau shot 2 under for the entire tournament.
So let me ask you guys this, because Dustin Johnson, when he came on the scene, you know, like 10 years ago, everybody thought that everybody got behind him and thought that he was going to be the next guy. And, you know, golf is very hard. I think we can all attest to that. I know PC, you know, he's the golf expert on this particular podcast, but I've played golf before. Ray, I don't know if you have or not, but golf is very difficult. And it's weird. It's funny, man, because we're all about the same age. So growing up, you know, Fred Couples kind of dominated for a little bit. And then on the senior tour, Lee Trevino, goddamn, he was just holding it down like an anvil on a seesaw. I didn't even know who the Mellon Farmer was. But, yeah, he was just dominating. And then Tiger comes along. And then in between Tiger, Vijay Singh, he had his moment. Mickelson had his moment. But I don't think we've had that dominant force in golf since Tiger, and I think that a lot of people thought that Dustin Johnson was going to be that. Not saying he hasn't done well for himself. He's made a lot of money. He's won a lot of tournaments, and now the new guy is the Rochambeau, and clearly, it just didn't work out.
I want you to answer that, Tony, but can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead.
Dustin, I think, may be, in terms of talent wise, sure, but I think the guy that everybody pegged was Rory McIlroy.
I forgot about Rory. He had a little brief run, yeah.
So yeah, but that's all I wanted to say. Go ahead.
It's funny because it was the first time the 1, 2, and 3 players in the world were tied for the lead after the second round. Dustin Johnson is number 1, John Rahm is number 3 or number 2, and Justin Thomas is 3 or 2. I forget which way Rahm and Thomas. I think Thomas is 2, and they were all tied at 9 under. Look where Dustin Johnson finished. Right. First of all, shout out to Cameron Smith, who's going to be very, very good. He's very young. He's an Australian. He's the first guy to ever shoot 60s all 4 rounds at the Masters. No one's ever done that before. Dustin Johnson didn't even do that this weekend. Granted, DJ had 2 65s and played phenomenal. So 20 under is your record. Shout out to a lot of guys. Rory did T5. He tied for 5th. He shot 11 under. Justin Thomas was up there. You know, I mean, the leaderboard was packed, but here, I want to put this out to you guys. You talk about Dustin Johnson's dominance and how he's been playing lately. When the tournament finished Sunday, it was only going to be 21 more weeks until the tournament will finish again, because it's going to be played in April. It's going to finish on April 11th, the second Sunday in April, and that's 21 weeks from this past Sunday. How could you not say, with the performance we just seen, and the Masters being a course where basically you get it or you don't for the most part, why wouldn't Dustin Johnson shoot between 15 and 20 under again and beat everybody again in 21 weeks from now?
Because it's golf. I mean, because it's golf. That's why. Not saying he can't do it, but I mean, we all know how difficult this sport is.
It looks good, but I think, to Platt's point, and yes, the Augusta is one of the few courses in which it is kind of what it is. But we all have watched golf enough to know that even when somebody has every single advantage going for them, they could have one bad day, and it just will screw you. It'll screw your game up. But I have a question for you, Tony, and I'd actually like to explain something to not only Platt and I, but to the listeners. What is the stark difference between playing the Masters in November to playing in April? What is the difference concerning the course?
Well, would it be weather-wise? Because I'm just saying, you know, living in Georgia, you know, the weather has been interesting this season. It's been a lot of rain, you know, the hurricane. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody mentions the word hurricane and Florida in the same sentence, yeah, Georgia's going to get a substantial amount of rain. So I got to imagine that affects the greens at some point in time. Or maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Sonny?
So it did rain. They did have a 2+ hour rain delay the first day, right? And generally you finish up around each day. They didn't catch back up until Saturday night. So they were finishing the second round Saturday morning, finishing the first round Friday morning. They did shoot some low scores, access some pins on the greens that they normally wouldn't because of that rain early on in the tournament. Like, I'm talking about shots from distance in parts of the green that are usually a lot firmer, right? The rain is going to make it more like throwing darts and the ball's just going to stick. So they did take advantage of that. But at the same time, the course was going to be a little less firm. So it was going to play longer. That's the way they say. The azaleas weren't blooming behind the green because it's November and not April. This is a winter. This is a winter course, though. Just so people know, okay? Members play this course from like October through April, and they don't play there in the summer. It's too hot.
But when you say play longer, man, explain that to the layman. Okay, so if the course does that mean?
If the course is softer, when the ball lands, it's not going to roll as far. So if you would have watched some of them early rounds especially, now granted, it got the wind picked up a little bit and the ball might have rolled a little bit more. But if I'm hitting a drive and it's going to travel 290 to 310 yards in the air, it's going to go up in the air a lot and it's going to have to come down a long way. So when it lands, if the ground is soft, it's not going to roll forward much. It's just going to hit and kind of stop. But if you have a harder course, a firmer course, it's going to make the ball roll out more. So I'm going to get more roll after the ball hits the ground. Now, granted, on the other side of it, a firmer course is harder to hit the green and stop the ball, where a softer course, it's easier to land those longer shots into the green. It's a catch-22.
So that's when you hear people say the greens are fast on this course. That's what they're talking about.
The greens are always going to be fast as far as putting goes because there's a lot of slopes in the greens. There's a lot of undulation, right? There's a lot of tiers in the green. So that's why knowing where to hit the green and where to miss on what side of the green, right? You could have one guy who hits the green, but he's on a tier down, so he's like a 3 foot upslope putting up to the thing. But Tiger Woods missed on the other side, and he's just off the fringe, but he's got a flat little surface to go on, right? There's a lot of said to be being level as opposed to going up and then having to level off on a plateau to find the hole.
So running it back again in April, you know, assuming that the weather is going to be different, because, I mean, the weather in fall is different than the weather in spring, that could affect who wins. Yes, no, maybe so.
It's tough because Dustin Johnson now was already one of the longest players, hit the ball the farthest. He is a big person. But now he's more accurate than ever off the tee. I think he led the tournament in driving accuracy, right? And now he's able to have a good wedge play because he hits the ball so far, he's going to have shorter irons into the green, which is going to allow him to access more pins even when they're firmer, like we talked about. Because if he's hitting a club with more loft on it into a green than anybody else, that's better because it's going to be easier for him to stop the ball on the firmer greens in April. So I see the same advantage. I still don't ever count Tiger out. Like you said, golf is golf, and Tiger showed us that he can still score on that course, right? But it'll be the usual suspects, and Dustin Johnson will be the one to beat no matter what happens come April, 21 weeks from now.
So, gun to your head, and this probably isn't even a fair question, but we're doing a podcast, so fuck it. Gun to your head. Dustin Johnson, does he repeat?
Yeah, why not? There's nothing to tell me he doesn't. He dominated this tournament. He's been playing well for a few years now. He's always been consistent. He's always won tournaments every year of his career. You can't. I don't see why you wouldn't pick him again to win the next tournament and play the same way. And Paulina looked phenomenal meeting him on the 18th green. And congratulations to Dustin. Congratulations to Dustin Johnson's brother, who is his caddy. And one of the coolest things about the Masters, if you've seen the end there, the caddy gets to keep the flag stick with the flag on the 18th green.
You literally stepped on what I was about to say. So when PC said Paulina, he's referring to Paulina Gretzky, which is the daughter of Wayne Gretzky. And she's also Dustin Johnson's fiance, so good for him. So he's winning in the game of life as well, so good for him.
Because that got everything to do with golf, right?
Yeah, actually it does. Okay. It does, yes. Oh, yeah. Who doesn't want a hot chick on their arm? I got one.
Listen, if you watch a lot of the awards ceremonies Sundays afternoons, late afternoons, to the fruition of golf tournaments, a fairly large upper 90% majority of the golfers have very, very good-looking women on their arms when they win these tournaments.
And good for them. Makes life a lot easier.
So for some people.
Yeah.
All right. Good point. Should we move on to the NFL, gentlemen?
No, please. I don't want to. I don't want to talk about it.
We got
to
do it.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Well, I can tell you 2/3 of this podcast didn't mind week 10.
Pop.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know Cleveland lost. I'm sorry, Platt. Cleveland lost, man. I don't know what to tell you.
They clearly did not. The fake Browns lost, but the real Browns won, sir. But Tony, please continue.
So the Cleveland Browns did win, and a very smart play by Nick Chubb. Platt and I talked about that pre-show. We agree that the betting contingent on the Browns there wasn't too happy. But if you were smart, you would have taken the under because it was really windy there. Jacksonville Jaguars gave the Green Bay Packers all they could handle and more. But luckily, we'll take a victory there. Any way you can get a victory in the NFL. Sounds cliche, but when you're the number one seed now in the NFC conference, you'll take those fucking victories. You know what? And before we get to Ray, let him soak in a little bit. How crazy is it that Seattle goes from the one seed to the seven seed now in the NFC in 1 week? That's how congested we're going to talk about. That's how congested these playoff spots are right now. And a proposal is out there to add an eighth playoff team. But before we get to all of that, let's talk about how the Ravens just shit the bed against the New England Patriots. What happened? Do you guys need like a new offensive coordinator? What's going on?
They need players.
So, okay. May I have the floor?
Please.
I think we just asked you a question. I just asked
you a
question.
Do what you
got to
do.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You just take as long as you need. I got to pee too.
Do you think?
Oh god. This is a bit of a rough day for us Ravens fans. There's a myriad of problems in Baltimore, though, in Raventown. The first major issue that I think is very important to note is we are horrifically injured right now. Major injuries to major players we're already working on. An extremely injured line. Our left tackle, Ronnie Stanley, is out for the season. You know, Marshall Yonder was out. The guy that replaced him had to move. Orlando Brown Jr. had to move to left tackle. DJ Fluker, the guy we signed to be our backup left tackle, he got hurt, and he's gone now. And so many people are injured on defense. It's a mess. Mark Ingram had been gone for the past 3 weeks. He came back, and they gave him absolutely too much work for a guy who just got back in the offense 3-4 days ago. Secondly, there is a horrific problem with the fact that we have no offensive skill position talent. Hollywood Brown is Torrey Smith, and that is a great position to be, but that's not a number one receiver. Mark Andrews is a fantastic pass catcher, but he is the number two tight end on our roster. Our number one tight end, Nick Boyle, is gone for the season because he got a torn ACL. It is just a comedy of errors. So even if we wanted to stretch the field or utilize wonderful offensive sets, we don't have the personnel to do so. Eric DaCosta needs to work on that. I would have liked to have seen us, instead of going after Yannick Ngakoue, I would like to have seen us go after Julio Jones, but such is life. Thirdly, you have to look at Greg Roman. Greg Roman deserves all the credit for last year, for having a fantastic game plan for Lamar and changing up and playing to his strengths. But Mr. Platt sent me a text that was very extremely salient. And what he's told me, what he said, I agree completely with, is that it seems like the league has caught up to our sets. Even Lamar said himself in one of his interviews, they know our plays before we run the plays. That is fucking unbelievable. This is NFL football. This ain't college, this ain't high school. It's NFL fucking football.
Can I just say something to that point?
Of course.
That's what the Green Bay Packers went through in the final years of Mike McCarthy, and that's what's going on with the Dallas Cowboys, because Mike McCarthy went out and hired his friend who's horrible defensive coordinator in this time and age, and Mike McCarthy didn't look into analytics. He's running the same old bullshit, right? But luckily enough, we had Aaron Rodgers, and that's not a slight against Lamar Jackson. That's just...
Not at all.
That's
no.
Just one more feather in how really, really great on the all-time... I mean, like...
And to
Aaron
be fair,
Rodger, Aaron Rodgers is the most talented. Aaron Rodgers is the most talented quarterback, physically and mentally put together of all time. Until Patrick Mahomes wins another Super Bowl or MVP.
I agree, but you also have to give respect to the fact that you have one of the five best receivers in the game. So as much as Rodgers is he-man in that shit, he still can just throw the ball up when he needs to and somebody going to catch that hole. We don't have
But I'm talking about the times when he still made the playoffs and we had winning seasons when people had already caught on to Mike McCarthy's bullshit. And Devontae Adams was not that back then. Not at all.
I completely agree. I completely agree, but your worst receiver is better than our best.
2018. Go look at 2018. Devontae Adams was not Devontae Adams.
I completely agree, but Alan Lazard would be our number one receiver right now. That's how laughable our receiving core is. That's like, my point. You've always had some receiver, and Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback talent-wise we've ever seen. He has eclipsed Dan Marino in that regard, in my opinion, and John Elway. He's fantastic until Patrick Mahomes matures a lot more. He'll take the crown. But he's always had something to throw to. I'm not saying he's had the greatest receivers, because he has not.
Well,
There's times you think he's out there with nobody. But they're
Jennings,
always better
Jordy.
Than us. The greatest receiver in the history of the Baltimore Ravens is Derek Mason for 2 years of 39-year-old Steve Smith.
Why didn't you guys go out and trade for Will Fuller? Why didn't you give up a second-round pick for Will Fuller? It doesn't make any sense.
Look, let me answer that real quick. I really need to tear one into Lamar Jackson real quick. The answer to that is because Houston don't know what the fuck they're doing, because everybody threw out a trade offer for Will Fuller, and they didn't take one. They don't know what the fuck they're doing. Houston is imploding. As a Houstonian who lives here, they're imploding as a franchise.
Well,
everybody tried to get Will Fuller in the trade deadline. Go ahead, Platt. I'm sorry.
Well, that's because they kept Bill O'Brien on longer than they should have, and they finally got rid of him. But at the same point in time, poor Deshaun Watson. You know, you didn't get rid of him before he traded all your good players away. You know, that was some bullshit. I feel bad for Deshaun Watson. But, you know, going back to Lamar, man, the irony is because they just lost to the Patriots. It really, what Deshaun is dealing with right now, it really reminds me of Cam Newton with the Panthers, where that Cam and just like Deshaun, they're literally the entire offense. Now, and at least Cam had Greg Olsen, which for a year. He had Steve Smith for a year, and then they got rid of him. But, Greg Olsen, he wasn't a great player, but he was pretty good, and that's better than anything Deshaun has to work with right – or not Deshaun, I beg your pardon. Lamar has to work with right now. Lamar would probably give his left testicle for Greg Olsen right now. So,
That was supposed to be Mark Andrews, and he's talented. The problem is
they just
Nick
cover
Boyle
him.
Does everything better. I'm sorry?
They just cover Andrews now pretty much basically.
Well, that's the other part. And Nick Boyle is so good because Nick Boyle is perfect in that he is one of the best blocking tight ends in the league. So we like to run those 2-3 tight end sets so that we can run some type of possible option where we have a run pass option or a zone read and we drop back in the pistol to throw it. And Boyle's always going to be able to catch that pass. Andrews is a decent blocker, but he's not Nick Boyle. But now Nick Boyle's gone, so who gives a fuck?
All right. Hold on. There's three storylines in the NFL I want to get to. We've all gone in deep on our teams. Ray, I'll let you finish real quick here because there's three things I want to get into.
I haven't gone in deep on my team, but
you won. You don't want. You don't need to. They're not going to try. They're going to try to throw as little as possible. Chubbs back. Good for you. Go ahead, Ray.
Really? With your schizophrenic ass team, Tony. But go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, we're number one for now. Probably not for long, but hopefully. But we still have Aaron Rodgers, so you never know, Ray.
I think it's important to note that I'm a firm believer in that, especially with quarterbacks, that they get all the credit when things are going good, but they deserve the lion's share of the blame when things are going bad. This is by far, and this is not Lamar Jackson's fault, but Lamar Jackson needs to play better. I was one of the guys that had concerns about his accuracy coming in. I know he can throw the ball. He's a quarterback. He's a damn good quarterback. And it's offensive to say he's not. But he has had accuracy questions when you know, when playing certain defenses. But if you look at the past two or three games, he's thrown horrible picks. The pick going into the second half that he threw to Hollywood Brown was for no fuck. It was just, he just threw the shit up. So I think it's important to note, we have to demand more of Lamar Jackson. And that ain't got shit to do with his skill position players. That ain't got shit to do with his offensive coordinator. We have to demand more of Lamar Jackson. I can't even talk about my goddamn team. I'm going to shut the fuck up.
You just had fucking 10 minutes on your goddamn team, and you covered up your banner up there. You be quiet. We got three storylines to get into.
This is a son's household.
Listen, I have no problem cutting people off. Here we go. All right. Washington. Alex Smith is back, gentlemen. 390 yards passing. This is what we need to talk about. There's two other storylines. Let's start here. Ray, how do you feel? Alex Smith back after all of this. Starter for the Washington Redskins. I know they lost, but the guy's out there. Rivera said he's back to his old self. He threw for 390 yards. He has like two left legs.
Good for him. So anyway, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, you know, no, I was just playing.
Get probably that button the best. I think for as shitty as their team is and for as shitty as their franchise has been historically, they have the two best situations in terms of feel-good moments in the league right now. Alex Smith playing with, and while they have the one of the worst by just like throwing away Dwayne Haskins, but Alex Smith coming back and being healthy and playing well, and Ron Rivera beating cancer while coaching, like that's dope. So like I hope that good karma breeds to the rest of the team, and let Dwayne Haskins go somewhere and actually play.
I agree, man. I feel like Dwayne got a raw deal, but coming, absolutely, you know. But looking at from Riverboat Ron's perspective, he's looking at this thing saying, you know what? This division is trash. It's hot garbage. We actually have a position. We could mess around and win this division. And Alex Smith probably at this particular point in time gives them the best opportunity to try to win that division, even though I cringe every time I see Alex Smith out there because of the horrific injury that he suffered. It was basically Joe Theismann 2.0. Plus, you know, we've talked about the whole thing and with Jay Gruden and why that injury happened. I mean, it's just a complete shit show. But I understand where Riverboat is coming from because everybody's in that division. I mean, the Cowboys are, what, 2-7? I think Washington is 2-7 now, but they're only a game and a half out of the division lead.
The Eagles, 3-5-1, are a game ahead of the Giants, who are 3-7. The Washington football team is 2-7, as are the Cowboys, a game and a half out. So somebody's going to be sub-500 making it out of that division. Right now, the Eagles have a game lead.
And I'll cede you your Alex Smith point about Dwayne Haskins, but we have to remember they didn't bench Dwayne to start Alex Smith. They benched him to start Kyle Allen, who in turn had his own Alex Smith moment. So like, if the goal was always to put Alex Smith in, I feel you. Kyle Allen was not a starting level quarterback.
Well, Kyle Allen
made it feel personal.
Kyle Allen was Ron Rivera's quarterback in Carolina before he came up from there. So he brought him with. Haskins wasn't performing. Kyle Allen really wasn't performing. Alex Smith has performed this past game now. He wasn't that great in his first debut there, but I don't know. I don't believe in Dwayne Haskins as a quarterback. I hope he goes somewhere else and gets a chance in a system that's better suited for him, but that's just where I'm at right now with that. Gentlemen, let's talk about maybe the play of the NFL season. Kyler Murray. First of all, Yes, DeAndre Hopkins has hands that go for days. The guy knows how to pinpoint the ball at its highest spot, right over three people. But if you go back and watch that, watch Kyler Murray. He is in a full sprint to his left towards the sideline and pivots his hips to throw the ball with his right arm. Probably, what does he throw that ball? About 45-ish?
50, 60 yards?
No, yeah. They were on the 45. Something yard line, so it was maybe 50 yards, 45, 50 yards. But on a, I mean, he gets a little bit of height on it. You guys seen it? What did you think?
Let alone he should have been sacked. Lest we forget that he should have been sacked on that play, and he was able to keep the play alive. He's just so exciting to watch as a player because of that. But It was amazing play. It might have been the best Hail Mary I've ever seen. And I mean, and you know, you can't discredit DeAndre Hopkins on the other end too. Like, yeah, Kyler had to go through a whole lot to get that pass off, but DeAndre had to go up and he met the ball at his highest point, but he had to go up between three defenders and pull that down. And not only pull it down, but keep possession of it as he came to the ground in order to score the touchdown. I mean, that was an amazing play. And I think this is why we watch football, for stuff like that, because every now and again, stuff like that happens.
Ray, last time it happened, 2015, that bad man Aaron Rodgers against the Detroit Lions.
I don't want to be blasphemous, because what Kyler Murray did was amazing. But, like, I think we really, because a receiver's main job is to catch, we really don't give them respect for those type of catches. The difficulty of that catch, and with three people all jumping for the ball, one literally jumping in front of you as it's happening, and as Platt said, to not only catch it at its highest point, but to bring it in and keep it while you get to the ground. Like, Kyler made an amazing move to get the ball off. But we see those type of plays all the time. We don't see those type of catches all the time. This is for a reason. But my only thought when I saw it was, Houston is trash. Y'all are garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But this is why I don't know if I said this on these airwaves, man, but I've said it offline. I tell people all the time that the one person on the entire NFL roster that you don't want to fight is the wide receiver. Okay, so number one, you know they have explosiveness because they got to be explosive to come off the line because they jam them and stuff like that. They clearly have hands. They're and most of them are about what? 6'3", 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", 215, 200 pounds. And most of them have attitude problems as well. Like, I know some people are going to think the linebackers or the safeties or the offensive or defensive linemen, but the one person that you don't want to fight on a football team is the wide receiver. They got hands. Jerry Rice grew up catching bricks. You really want to fight a melon farmer that grew up catching bricks?
Let me just close this particular subtopic out by saying, kudos to Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills, who had their own comeback and scored a touchdown on a beautiful play from Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs with 51 seconds left, right? So I think the Buffalo Bills are a team that could sneak up and surprise some people, be in the AFC Championship, possibly the Super Bowl. You can say no all you want. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
No, so I will say this, man, before we get to topic three, because I love burying Ray because he's a real Browns hater. But at the same point in time, man, Baltimore is still one of the best three teams in the AFC. I mean, they lost to the defending Super Bowl champs. They lost to the undefeated Steelers. And this last loss, it took a fucking monsoon. Not only was it a monsoon, but the Patriots needed that win more than Baltimore did. And as shitty as Baltimore played, they still had an opportunity to win the game at the end. So, you know, the AFC, man, I would put Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Baltimore. That's the top tier. Now, below that, I would probably put the Bills. I'd probably put Miami in there because I think they're good. And the Raiders. I'll put them there, too. I think the Raiders are good as well. And then below that, you've got Cleveland, Tennessee, Indianapolis, the Patriots, and I'm probably missing a team as well. But those teams are going to be fighting for that last spot in the AFC playoffs. And I mean, between Tennessee and Indianapolis, one of them is going to make it. Just like between Buffalo and Miami, one of them is going to make it because they're going to win the division.
Neutral field, you got the Bills or the Ravens?
Ravens, it's not even close.
I agree.
Yeah, so not even close.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There have never been 6 6 win teams before, and 9 6+ win teams before at this point in one conference. And that's what happens in the AFC right now. The Colts would be the 4 seed. The Browns and Titans would be out. The Ravens would be the 7 seed with the Raiders 5 and 6. That's where we're at. That's how many good teams are there. The Patriots are all but out, in my opinion, because do you really see one, two, three, four, five. There's 6 teams at 6 and 3. They have to jump 3 of them to get into the playoffs. And the Patriots, here's their schedule.
Okay.
They got the Texans, but then they got the Cardinals.
That's winnable.
Then they got the Cardinals.
Keep going.
So then they got to go all the way across the country to play the Chargers.
That's winnable.
Then they got to go home and go all the way back across the country on a Thursday. They're just going to stay in L.A. because then they play the Rams again.
That's winnable. Even though the Rams are low-key good, but that's a winnable game.
Then they got to come home, and then they travel down south and play the Dolphins.
That's winnable. It's a division game.
Then they play the Bills.
They damn near beat the Bills last week. Like, that's winnable.
You're like 61% on all these games, which they're not going to be favored for. They're going to be favored for fucking 2 games. The Texans next week and their last game against the Jets. They will not be favored against the Cardinals, Chargers, Rams, Dolphins, or Bills.
They won't, but those are all winnable games, especially when you got Belichick.
Right, and if they would have just beaten those other 2 games with those one plays against the Dolphins and the other team that they lost to by one play, they would be fucking, 6-3 with the rest of the motherfuckers. But they're not. They're 4-5.
It's Cam. I'm not going to shit on Cam. Right. I'm not going to shit on black quarterbacks, man. It's Cam. And the thing is, man, Cam ain't been the same since he had that rota. And I think there's something to that, because if you all recall, Ezekiel Elliott, he had the rona before the season started, and he hasn't been.
Cam's receiver, Jacoby Myers, who was a high school quarterback and switched in college because he was playing behind somebody that ended up in the NFL. Oh, Jacoby Brissett in college. Jacoby Myers throws the ball better than fucking Cam Newton does right now. That's why Cam Newton is not a very good quarterback right now. He can't throw the ball anymore, period.
I'm so glad you said that, because their best quarterback is their wide receiver and their best running back is their quarterback. This shit is crazy.
I'm not giving up on Cam, goddammit.
Let's move on. You got the last word. You got the last word. Let's move on, because there's one last storyline I want to give time to. Drew Brees has 5 fractured ribs and a punctured lung.
Allegedly.
No, it's not alleged. It's, okay.
Good grief. Can I jump in real quick? Don't make me regret this, Chris. I want to give you some credit. And this I know it kills me to do it. But before the season started, when they signed Jameis Winston, Chris Platt came on the show and said Jameis is going to be the reason that the Saints go to the playoffs, because
before
Drew
we
Brees
give him that credit,
hurt.
Let's see if that happens.
Right, but to his point, he called it. He called that this was going to happen.
Drew Brees,
I don't know
is
if Jameis
done.
Is going to do it, but he called this.
Here, let's okay. Well, I mean, let's do it.
Yeah. Well, that's just like your opinion, man.
Around the horn, yes or no, real quick, and then we'll jump back into talking about it. Has Drew Brees played his last snap in the NFL ever? Ray Cash.
God, no.
Christopher
Platt. God, no. He'll be back for the playoffs.
No.
I say yes.
He'll be,
but
he'll
go
be
ahead,
back for the playoffs. But yeah,
but
yeah, please.
But no, but keep going, because Ray was about to give me my props, because I was right on this particular situation. And quite frankly, I ain't got a prediction right since I said Trump was going to win in 2016. So I'm going to live it up right now.
We'll see if you're right. We'll see how Jameis plays. Taysom Hill could be your quarterback before the end of the season.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
God, no, please, Lord,
but please,
no.
Ray, continue with what you were saying. I feel like you were saying something very
serious. Should we take a commercial break and come back and talk about this?
Well, no, that's all he got. You're right. There you go. You don't need me to lick your balls no more. You got it. You're right. Now let's see if Jameis is everybody you thought he was.
Bro, this dude threw for 30 touchdowns and 5,000 yards last year.
And 30
year.
Picks. It's, went 7-9.
Whoa. Okay, 30 picks. Okay, fair. But it's asinine to think that this Melon Farmer does not have a starting job. I would take him in Cleveland tomorrow. Yesterday.
I wouldn't leave Crab Legs sitting out when he's
around. I'd take him. Okay, yeah. Keep your crab. Yeah, watch your crab legs. Fair enough. Touche, motherfucker.
He needs to be in Baltimore if he like crab legs.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, man. Look at the Melon Farmers that are starting right now. Would you really take Nick Foles or Trubisky over Jameis? Yes or no? Just quickly, yes or no?
Oh, of course not. But that's not. That's one team.
No. It's one team. Yes or no.
That's one team who probably has the 50th or 60th best quarterback. They just, it's so skewed.
No. Yes or no? Would you take Daniel Jones over Jameis?
Right now, y'all would. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, y'all, I don't think you're going to find another team. I don't think you're going to find another team. You want to go down the list?
Yeah, true.
You want to do the list?
Yes, let's go down the list. Yes.
I will do the list.
I do.
Hold on real quick.
This is going to end our NFL talk here.
Right, but the reason why you take somebody like Daniel Jones over Jameis is because Daniel Jones is like 2 years in the league. He has potential.
All right, we're not doing that. We're just doing yes or no. We got 30 more teams to go through. It's going to be yes or no. Between it. No.
Let's go.
And we're going to see.
Let's
see how crazy it is that Ray and I are together on every single team, and you're crazy. That's what we're going to do here real quick. Everybody ready?
Let's go.
Yeah. Josh Allen.
Taking Josh Allen.
I'm not the biggest fan of Josh Allen, but I'll take Josh Allen. Okay.
Tua Tagovailoa.
Taking Tua all day long.
I'm gonna take Tua. Okay.
Cam.
Newton.
Is there another Cam starting quarterback?
I know, but I couldn't believe you actually asking that question. I'll take you, me, or Platt over Cam right now.
I love Cam, but yeah, I'm going Jameis.
I'd still take Cam. Sam Darnold, I'll give you that one.
Yeah, that's Jameis. Come on.
That's tough.
Yeah, but I like Sam Darnold a lot more than you guys do.
I don't know. I would take Sam Darnold, actually, to be honest with you. That situation sucks. Okay, Ben Roethlisberger, no.
I'm taking Jameis, though.
Lamar Jackson, no. Baker Mayfield, no. I don't know. I'd maybe give you Baker Mayfield. That's the situation. Yes. You're not doing Burrow. Philip Rivers, I don't think so.
I'm taking Jameis over Philip Rivers.
Tannehill?
Yes.
Not right now.
Ryan Tannehill's been the best quarterback over the last 21 games of the NFL. DeSean Jackson? No.
Lamar? No.
DeSean Jackson.
Deshaun
Watson. DeSean Watson, my bad.
But Deshaun Watson is good, man. They just traded away all his players. I'm gonna take Deshaun.
All right, Greg Minshew. He's got a great mustache.
Yes. Fuck his mustache.
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, he's trash. He's get horrible. Him out of here.
David Carr. Don't say yes to David Carr. He's 6-3 right now.
Yes to David Carr. No. Yes.
Drew Locke, maybe. Justin Herbert? Yeah. No. Justin Herbert, no.
Yes.
No, to Justin Herbert? No way.
Not over Justin Herbert.
You're making yourself look bad, but
he's the rookie who wasn't set to start this season. Give him time.
I maybe give you Carson Wentz.
Yes. What you mean, maybe?
Maybe.
Ask Philly fans.
Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones, no. Alex Smith, no.
Yes.
He just threw for 390.
Yes.
Cowboys, they don't qualify for this question.
Yes, whatever they got going on right now, because all their quarterbacks are hurt. Yes.
I'll give you the Bears. You don't get Stafford. You don't get Cousins. You don't get Rodgers, obviously.
Yes.
No. Who in the NFC Central? North? Sorry. You're going to go over Cousins?
And the Bears. Cousins and the Bears. Yes.
Not Stafford or Rodgers.
Not Stafford or Rodgers, but Cousins Ray, and the Cousins? Bears, yes.
Ray, Cousins not or Cousins. Jameis? No, not Cousins.
Really?
I'm taking Cousins.
Really?
You think Cousins is good?
I don't think Jameis is good.
Okay.
So that's fair. I think Jameis is good. I think Jameis can be good.
Not Brady, not Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
Platt, if you want to have some legitimacy in the guys you're actually picking, you can't say stuff like you think Jameis Winston should start over Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's a former MVP.
Because they're so fucking good right now.
Okay, you're just you're devalidating your own opinion right now, Skip.
Matt Ryan is mid. He's mid.
There's no way. Teddy Bridgewater.
James Winston is lower than mid.
Not the way Teddy Bridgewater is playing.
Lower than mid. He threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, man. Right,
Matt Ryan's thrown for 5,000 yards like three times.
This is not the way this is going. We're almost done. God damn it. We're almost done. The Panthers, no.
No, Bridgewater. I like Teddy, man. I like Teddy.
Yeah, okay.
That team sucks, but I like Teddy.
Kyler Murray, no. Jared Goff, they get a pass, no. But... Russell Wilson, no. Maybe I'll give you Garoppolo.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Shit. Even what's the Rams quarterback? What's his name? Jared Goff. I'd take Jameis over him.
Platt.
He's whack. He's whack. Jared Goff's not whack. He got exposed at the Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Do you know how
he got to a Super Bowl? Jameis can't get to the playoffs.
All right, we need to move on. Platt,
Jimmy Garoppolo. No. Janine Garoppolo. She got to a Super Bowl, too.
We
got to
move on. Platt, you know how most universities are accredited?
Yes.
All right, well.
Denied.
Your opinion of NFL quarterbacks has currently been discredited. Let's move on.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Gentlemen, the NBA, it's back! NBA basketball.
Hey.
It's fantastic. All right. The trading...
No!
There we go.
I couldn't help it.
The trading has begun. I believe... What is it? Dennis Schroeder is going to get moved to the Lakers for Danny Green and their first-round pick. And Ray Cash, I just wanted to get that out because that's the only other trade I really knew of. I was busy today. But go ahead and explain to everybody why your Phoenix Suns are looking pretty, 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 pretty good.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Tunney. I'd like to explain to the people that the Phoenix Suns, who have been... I'm sorry?
No, sorry. I was just...
Oh. I'd like to explain to everybody that the Phoenix Suns, who have been... No!
Sorry, I was just fucking with you. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I'm just waiting for you to finish. Go get that system. Go ahead. Because, you know, I don't get very many times to speak positive about the Phoenix Suns. Go ahead.
No.
Is Dan Marley coming out of retirement?
I mean, mean, look, he would have been better than some of the players we've had over the past 5 years. We got Chris Paul, Hayden as guys. Thank you. Chris Paul, yes.
No.
Playing.
No.
I hate y'all so much.
Come on, let him have let him have his moment.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. For
me too. I'm done. No,
I said
I'm done.
Chris Paul, there you go.
No, I'm literally done, man, because you have a lot to celebrate right now, so please get your shit off.
No, we'll celebrate in the playoffs. You good.
Well, that's the thing, man. You basically just guaranteed that you all are going to be in the playoffs. You literally you traded for one of the best point guards in the history of the league for a poo-poo platter. You traded Chris Paul for 3 packs of soy sauce and pocket lint.
I will say we're gonna miss Kelly Oubre. Kelly Oubre is a really good player. We're gonna miss him.
Yeah, it was 4 players in total. Oubre and Ricky Rubio were the 2 main players involved. There are some cash considerations. Yeah. There might be a draft pick, a conditional draft pick as well.
There's a pick, yeah. So there's a pick.
It's a great trade for both sides, to be honest with you. Nobody loses in this situation. Chris Paul wanted to leave. Oklahoma did him well by letting him go where he wanted to go. This is where he wanted to go. This team looks good. Chris Paul, Devin Booker. I mean, you got
DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, you got the big
DeAndre
man.
DeAndre Ayton.
Who's the other
Miles
guy?
Miles Bridges.
Yes, Bridges as well. Bridges, I think, is a
Cam
really
Johnson.
Underrated player. Yeah. So you guys have some really good pieces there. We'll see what happens.
I mean, they're guaranteed to make the playoffs. And, I mean, number one, I'm shocked that Sarver even signed off on this deal to pick up Chris Paul's contract because, you know, he's a notorious cheapskate. But, yeah, they were undefeated. The Phoenix Suns were undefeated in the bubble, and they didn't need to get rid of their core in order to get Chris Paul. And if Chris Paul could drag that Oklahoma City Thunder team to the playoffs, which was a spite season, shout out to Chris Paul, of course this team's going to make it to the playoffs. He's going to push him. He knows what he's doing. And not only that, I mean, the Phoenix Suns training staff, man, that's universally recognized as the best training staff in all of sports. I mean, you Mellon Farmers got Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway back on the floor, right? So they could probably extend Chris Paul's career for another, what, 5-6 years?
At the end of Shaq's career, Shaq came to Phoenix and played 70-plus-some-odd games in the season. Shaq.
I think
at the end of his career.
I think Chris Paul's done after he collects his $84 million over the next 2 years.
Well, he may only because there's other things he wants to do, but I think Phoenix can allow him to play if he wants to play. But I think the real conversation is, and it's not about Phoenix, but it's about Houston. Because if somebody's going to make the playoffs, who wasn't in the playoffs before, somebody has to be out. And I think with Phoenix moving up, Houston is declining simultaneously.
Let's talk about that. Let's transition into that. To me, I know the general manager's gone. Morey is now with – who did Morey go to?
The 76ers.
That's
with
right.
The Philly.
Okay. But, I mean, so now, once again, you have superstars at a franchise going, I don't want to be here anymore, trade me, right? So Harden's gone. Is Russ going to stay? What is he a free agent? Where is he going?
Russ has to go first. Russ has to go before Harden did. Harden is only willing to go now because he's like, okay, well, everybody else is going to go. I'm not going to stay here and be
Well,
here
Harden
myself.
Says he wants to go to the Nets now.
Nets or the Sixers.
Yeah, that's one of there's been numerous trade talks going on. Like the latest one is Harden to Brooklyn, but I've also heard Harden to the Sixers as well, which would make sense because Daryl Morey's there, but we really don't know until it actually happens, you know.
And the Brooklyn trade really looks kind of good for Houston. Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Jared Allen, another player who? Oh no, Caris, sir. Caris, yes. Yeah, it's play cousin Caris, and then another player who plays major time. I can't remember who it is, and a pick. Like you're not gonna get much better.
You guys know why Brooklyn's not gonna win anything, right?
Yeah, because they got Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
Whoa! Like.
Yep.
Okay,
go ahead, Chris. What happens if Kyrie and Harden and Durant play together this next year on the Nets? How does that work? Just tell us how that works.
Okay, so number one, Kyrie's crazy as cat shit. We all know that. But everybody forgets that, yes, James Harden was the sixth man on those OKC teams. He was coming off the bench. But at the end of the games, he was the facilitator of the offense. And how different really are Kyrie and Russell Westbrook? I mean, come on. How different really are they as players? Like, I'm just saying. How different are they?
Very.
And Kevin Durant.
One averages 10 rebounds and 10 assists a game, and the other one complains all the time.
No, I'm just saying, man, and Kevin Durant is very efficient. Kevin Durant can get you 30 points on 12 shots. I don't think that this can't work. If James Harden, obviously James Harden's not going to be the sixth man. I'm an MVP. I'm not coming off the bench. Fuck you. And that's fair. I don't think this can't work if James Harden is the primary ball handler and distributor. And the other reason that he did all that shit in Houston is because that was the only way that they had that they could possibly try to win. So he had his usage levels were going to be off the chains. I don't think this can't necessarily work. I think this could work.
It can't work at all. But can you give me the breaking news drop? I got some breaking news for you.
You got breaking news? Platt still discredited.
We got a Woj bomb. Source 5 minutes ago. Sources: after turning down an extension offer to become the first $50 million a year player in league history, James Harden's message to Houston is clear: get me to Brooklyn. Rockets and Nets have been in contact, but there's been no meaningful dialogue. So basically, it's going to have to happen before the season starts. So that's almost, it's essentially a done deal when your superstar says, get me there, because he just won't play.
This can work.
It won't work.
I know Kyrie crazy as cat shit, but this can work. Yes, it will.
So let's, okay, so I want to mention one thing real quick, and then I want to come right back to that same situation on a different step, a different level. Anthony Davis did turn down the extension to become a free agent, but everybody believes it's to sign a better deal and a long-term deal with the Lakers. I don't think anybody's worried about that. I don't think anybody on this podcast is really worried about that. There's no way in hell AD and LeBron aren't coming back to defend their title this next season. Who knows when LeBron will actually come back onto the court. I'm sure he'll have a little bit longer vacation. I don't think the Lakers need to be the number one seed, but they could still possibly get that. Now let's circle back. Where does Russell Westbrook end up in all of this?
Do you
we can't get Chris Paul anymore.
I thought he was going to Phoenix, to be fair with you.
How about Milwaukee?
Yeah, I have no idea.
How about Russie and the Freak?
No, it's not gonna happen. There's two places that make the most sense. One place is it basically depends on if Houston wants to get back a package of young guys and money and cap relief, or they want to get another good player. They could do a player-for-player, basically a player-for-player trade with Detroit for Blake Griffin. That's on the table. Or they could send him to New York and get back guys like Kevin Knox and Mitchell Robinson and a whole bunch of those young players. And they have a lot of really good young players. They just don't have a star there. And Russell can do what he wants. Russell wants to be the star of a team. To this day, the Knicks have been trash since Patrick Ewing, and they are still the biggest franchise in basketball and one of the biggest franchises in all of sports. Russell Westbrook, who is the face of Jordan, let me repeat that, the face of Jordan Athletics basketball brand, in New York, in Madison Square Garden, by himself, they could lose every game. They're still going to sell out. That's the perfect spot for him.
I can see. I agree with you, actually. I think the Knicks are the best spot. But I'm going to throw a curveball out of here. And this is off nothing that I've heard. Mm-hmm. Cleveland. They've got a lot of young talent.
Okay.
They've got a lot of young players there.
You got to throw Kevin Love in.
They got the fifth pick in the draft coming up.
New York fits just because Russie's the fashion guy too, though. I mean, Cleveland ain't looking to go to Cleveland. There's no way. I'm sorry.
Well, but here's
you know what? If you had Plant, and if you had Giannis and we didn't, I'd say the same thing about Milwaukee.
And unfortunately for Russ, Cleveland makes a lot of sense in terms of players because they have, again, a lot of young, cheap interesting talent.
I don't think he gives a shit. Russ is either wants to go somewhere to win, or he wants to go to a big city like New York where he can expand his brand. Because he ain't going to either LA team. He ain't going to either LA team.
You're right, but the problem is he has no leverage. He is not James Harden. He is going to go wherever Houston wants to send him. He has no leverage. James Harden's contract is coming up. He just signed that big-ass $200 million contract Russ did 2 years ago. He has no leverage. So wherever Houston wants to send him is where he's going to go.
But doesn't Houston...
They don't have to do right by him.
Doesn't Houston benefit from a sign-and-trade, though, as opposed to just trading him on the deal he's on? So any team that would be willing to accept a sign-and-trade for the long term would be more accessible.
Who, Russell or Harden? Because Russell's under contract for 3 more years right now.
And the issue with Harden or with Russell is because if they trade him to Brooklyn, they trade Harden to Brooklyn, they're going to get some pieces back. But the problem with Russell is you just kind of want to get rid of that contract. It's kind of like an albatross at this particular point in time. Like, you're going to take the L wherever you send Russ Westbrook. You're going to take the L on that, and you just hope that you can rebuild at this point in time.
It'd be crazy because Kyrie's already there and everything, but what if Westbrook ends up with the Nets instead of Harden?
Why not, right? We're going to be the first team in history that has no assists a game. First team ever.
I'm telling you, Harden to the Nets can work, man. Nah, that will work if they make it work. That can work.
Russell Westbrook could be the first player to average 15, 15, and 15 if he went to the Knicks.
So Harden or Kyrie doesn't have to worry about being the facilitator. He could just be the off guard. And
he's never worried about being the facilitator. What are you talking about?
That's my point. And Harden can be the one that facilitates the offense. Durant don't need a whole lot, man. Like I said, he could score 30 off of 12 shots.
Have you watched Harden facilitate an offense? It's dribble, 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 dribble.
That's what he had.
Pivot in, pivot out, shot fake, pump fake, shot fake. Guy goes up, hit him, shoot it, miss it, 3 free throws.
Because that's what he had to do in Houston.
Who does that facilitate?
The best chance to win. But when he was in OKC at the end of those games, he was the facilitator of the offense.
He was not a different player. He was a young player. He didn't even have a beard. He didn't even have a fucking beard.
James Harden. So now Kyrie gets to slide over to the two-guard position, and Harden can be the facilitator of the offense.
You're right, but let's talk just a little facts real quick. Number one, when he was in Oklahoma City,
facts. What are you talking about?
You're not talking
about
facts.
How am I not talking facts?
Because you're screaming. You're screaming.
Let me tell you. Okay. Number one, when James Harden was in Oklahoma City, he never, ever cared about being a star. He played a role. Yes, he can facilitate and be the best passer. You're right. When he got to Houston,
he can, bro. He was. Yes, he was a sixth man coming off the bench, but at the end of the games, he was the one that was facilitating the offense. Man,
I agreed with you. But that was his role. Let me finish.
The ball was in Kevin Durant's
hands. You're right. I'm agreeing. That was his role. Let me finish. So when he got to Houston, he had no talent. You're right. He had to do that. Throughout the I live here. All I see is Rockets talk. Throughout these six or however many long years he's been here, he has not been a solo act. He's had multiple years. The years he had Chris Paul, who will go down in history as the second best point guard in history, he did the same thing.
Who's the second best point guard in history?
Chris Paul.
He's the second best point guard in NBA.
That's the shit y'all want to listen to. I'm trying to make a point.
NBA history? That's the point
you... Because you said some dumb shit like that, and we both was like, no.
Chris Paul is the second best point guard in NBA history?
No.
Go on to the next subject, man.
No.
Magic Johnson. John Stockton.
You said John. I was going to go Isaiah.
Isaiah. Steve Nash. Steph Curry.
Chris better than Steve Nash, though.
Steve Nash has 2 MVPs.
Yeah, good for him.
Come on, Ray. You make a statement like that. You can't just make a statement like that and bow out.
I can't just make a statement. He has taken 3 franchises from obscurity to the level of almost making the finals.
You're a Suns fan and you not got Nash up there?
I'm sorry, I have a what?
You're a Suns fan and you don't have Nash in front of him?
No, I don't, because Steve Nash has had talent on his teams.
Okay, so
what talent did Chris Paul have?
Who's Chris Paul better than? Is he better than Magic Johnson, or is he better than John Stockton?
Yes, he's better than John Stockton. Yes,
I think he's better than John Stockton.
Yes, Allen Iverson.
He's better than Isaiah. Allen Iverson's not a point guard.
No, he's not a point guard. Allen wasn't a point guard. Allen wasn't a point guard. He was just small.
I don't know. If you think Chris Paul is better than Isaiah Thomas and John Stockton, I think I don't have anything else to say in this conversation.
That's fine. We'll just move on then. That's fine.
He was better than John. He wasn't better than Isaiah.
You don't think nobody was better than Isaiah. That's personal. That's not facts.
You think Chris Paul is better than Bob Cousy? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Cousy did win 11 titles.
Cousy's more successful, but I mean, talent wise, yeah, I know. I'm just saying. But come on now, really? I mean, Ray. I mean, I'm not like trying to stretch the list down any farther than I have to. But Magic Johnson, John Stockton, Isaiah Thomas—that's pretty rough.
I don't think so.
I don't think Chris Paul would put himself above any of those three people.
And don't listen to me. That's fine. Go look what basketball people say. Look it up. Tell me I'm wrong.
Go look what basketball people say about Isaiah Thomas.
How about Steph Curry?
No, that's not what I asked. Go ask what basketball people say is the second best point guard of all time. Look it up.
Go Who's ask first, what basketball then? People say.
Who's first?
Isaiah Thomas. Yes.
Magic. You know what they say about Isaiah Thomas. The issue is not Isaiah Thomas good, bro. We understand Isaiah Thomas is great. There is nobody sliding Isaiah. You have this thing that you think people slide Isaiah. Nobody in this room is sliding Isaiah, Chris.
Because of the shit that Dennis Rodman said about Larry Bird, which was wrong.
I got you.
Because Larry Bird was a bad motherfucker.
I got you.
But Isaiah seconded his teammate, and that's why he gets slighted in these conversations.
I got you. That is not the conversation between PC Tunney, Christopher Platt, or Ray Cash. I got you. Outside of this conversation, fight that hard. In this conversation, nobody's arguing with you. Nobody's arguing with you, bro. We with you. Isaiah is the fucking man. All I'm saying is I think Chris Paul, historically, because of what he's had to deal with, who he's had to be with, and the places he's taken three different franchises who have had no history of winning ever, usurps him over Isaiah. That's just my opinion. Am I saying he's a better player one-on-one? Probably not. But as a point guard, historically, I think he has done more for his team. He is a higher historically. I'm not dissing Isaiah.
In our lifetime, there's only been two people in the history of the NBA, in our lifetime, that have been under 6'4", that have led their teams to championships. That's Steph Curry, and that's Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas is the only player in the history of the league who beat Bird, Magic, and Jordan. Nobody else can say that. Nobody else can say that.
Okay. You want me to disagree with you? I agree with you. You're right. Nobody is disagreeing with you.
And I'm saying this, I'm not trying to shit on Chris Paul, because I love Chris Paul. Chris Paul's been one of my favorite players in the last 15 years. And I'm happy he's on Phoenix, because that means y'all about to make the playoffs. And that's going to be fun, because you're a fun team. But all that being said, and I'm still going back to the point where y'all don't think this whole James Harden on Brooklyn thing is going to work. I'm still pissed off about that, because I think it can work.
All right,
Kyrie's a weird motherfucker, and he might be the motherfucker that make sure that this doesn't work, but I think that can work. I think it can work.
All right, let's close this bad boy out before I get pissed off. I don't know what I'd be pissed off about. I apologize. I don't apologize, actually. I'm glad you guys are fervent in your opinions, and I'm glad we disagree a little bit here.
No, 1,000 times, no!
I think we can all agree, that being me and Ray and Andrew, who all have to deal with that stupid fucking button, that it's a stupid fucking button. That being said,
no!
I think we've come to the end of the show. Gentlemen, let's go around the horn and plug what we got going on. My name is PC Tunney. You can follow me at PC Tunney. Check out this show at 3_ManWeave, DWI Podcast, Pod is War. It's all happening there. ProWrestlingTees.com/thechairshot, Bandwagon Nerds had a hell of an episode this week. Head over to thechairshot.com. There's something for everybody. Sports, entertainment, and sports entertainment. Survivor Series week coming up. I'm excited. Feel these nipples.
You know, one thing I think we need to bring back, I really like it if it's possible for us to bring back the parting shots.
I think next week.
For word sure. to John Thompson. Next Not John week, Thompson. Sure. Wow.
John Saunders. What?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Word to John Saunders. Yeah. You know what I'm trying to say. It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y as in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars, Outsider's Edge podcast. Check us out.
I'm just happy to be back, man, talking shit with my brothers, man. This is fun, and I enjoy this show, and I'm glad that we're back, all three of us. This is cool. You guys can find me on Twitter at TheRealCPlat, but more importantly, again, if you enjoyed the content that we provide day in and day out at TheChairShot.com, the best way to make sure that we continue to provide that content is ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. It's the holiday season. You got your wallets and your pocketbooks out your pockets anyway. You're spending a ton of money anyway. So why not spend some money with your favorite website for news, reviews, opinion, and analysis with attitude by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. We literally have something for everybody. And remember, TheChairShot.com, we're not just a website, we're a movement. Please and thank you. Thank you and please.
The NBA, brief offseason. It's going to be exciting and spectacular. That is a win. The NFL, we are turning down the... You're just fucking my clothes up. Go ahead. That's fine. Go ahead, Ray.
You're right.
My let bad. Me open my mouth up so you can shit in it.
I mean, if that's your kink,
if
bro.
If that's what you're into, this. Yeah. We all got kink.
No diss. No judgment. We did, real quick, number one pick. The draft is this week. Who number one pick?
LaMelo Ball.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't study it.
It's either going to be LaMelo Ball or James Wiseman, the brother from Memphis, which...
I don't know. I don't think it's going to be either of them. What about that guard, that other guard?
Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, that's... There you go.
It's going to be Anthony Edwards. Yeah. He fits better.
That's going to make things interesting in this Western Conference. I mean, Chris Paul is with Phoenix. If Denver can pull off that trade for Drew Holiday, that they're instantly a contender right there. And
Minnesota, because you know D'Lo is going to finally have a full season with Cat, maybe.
Yeah, maybe
the number one pick.
But if Oakland or you know whatever they call it, the Warriors, if they have the number two pick, if they get James Wiseman, which we didn't get a big sample size with him because of all the bullshit that went on with Memphis, but he's a 7-foot guy that can dribble, can pass, can shoot, athletic. That's going to put them right back with a healthy Steph and a healthy Clay. Yeah, that's going to put them right back there. He's going to be able to come in immediately and make an impact. So the West NBA is going to be interesting.
Hit him with the line, Tony.
I don't want to anymore. Good night, everybody.
DJ Khaled. Hey. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what. Got money. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there. Cause all I do is win. And if you going in, put your hands in the air, make them stay there.
Ludacris going in on the verse, cause I've never been defeated and I won't stop now. Keep your hands up, beat them in the sky for the homies that ain't making it in my folks locked down. I never win.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.